Well, good afternoon, brethren. Last year, I was given the opportunity to deliver a message titled God's Three Agents. Matter of fact, it was December 5th, 2015. In this message, we identified from the Bible the three agents our Father uses in his plan of salvation to convict and draw people to Jesus and eventually into his family. Our Father's plan of salvation includes three agents. The first agent is our Father's Holy Spirit. The second agent is our Father's words. And the third agent is the followers of Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven had many choices when he developed his plan of salvation. He could have used only his Holy Spirit. He could have used some or all of his angels. Or he could have used his four living creatures mentioned in Revelation 4:6. Brethren, it does not matter what our Father could have done. What really matters is what he did. In John chapter 17, our Lord's prayer to his Father was for future believers. Christ said, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." John 17, verse 18. Jesus continues to say, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." John chapter 17, verse 20. In this prayer, our Savior was praying for his followers at that time and for his followers today. This includes us, brethren. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Christ loved his Father, and he did exactly what his Father commanded him to do. And Jesus has commanded us to go into the world to spread our Father's words. Brethren, if we love our Father and our Lord Jesus, we must do what they command. Being a follower of Jesus includes being sent into the world on a mission to spread the words of the Father so that sinners can be convicted and drawn to Jesus. Each follower of Jesus should view themselves as a missionary whose task is to spread our Father's truth to others. As what was said in the feast video, we must spread our Father's message of hope, even if people do not want to hear it. The Bible is full of stories about the followers of Jesus spreading the words of our Father. Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to spread the good news about the kingdom of God in Luke chapter 9, verse 2. He also sent out 70 of his disciples two by two in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Now let's review Christ's last words to his disciples just prior to his ascension into heaven. Our Lord's last words to his followers were a command. He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." That's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Brethren, Jesus knew this would be the last time his followers would hear his voice, and there were many things Jesus could have said. However, Jesus chose to command them to be witnesses for him. Now, many people might say this command was only to his 12 apostles. But was it? Let's continue with the story and see how it plays out. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, tells us there were 120 disciples in the church of God prior to Pentecost. And included in the 120 were 11 apostles. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 tells us, on Pentecost, about 3,000 people received power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were added to the original 120 followers of Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47 tells us, after Pentecost, the Lord added people to the church daily. Now, no one knows the exact number of people in the church at that time. However, some people speculate it was between 3,120 to 5,000 people in the church. And of that large number, 12 of them were apostles. And remember, no one knows the exact number. Now, brethren, let's review the rest of the story. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 tells us a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem after Stephen's persecution. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except apostles. Now, let me repeat. It says they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 4 tells us, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So everyone who was scattered, the large number of followers of Jesus who were scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. Brethren, the fact that all the believers in Jerusalem were scattered, except the 12 apostles, it was God's method of fulfilling our Savior's last command in Acts chapter 1, 8. Remember, after Pentecost, they all stood in Jerusalem. But remember, God commanded them to be a witness to them, to go to all corners of the earth. But they did not listen. So the persecution was the catalyst that moved his followers out to do what they were supposed to do. And the command that he gave them at the end, or just before going to the up into the clouds, he said, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Brethren, the fact that all of his followers left Jerusalem to preach the word, or to spread God's word, means that all of the believers in the New Testament church of God knew their mission. And that mission was to spread the Father's words. Brethren, the title of this message is Planting and Watering Spiritual Seeds. In this section of the message, we will review why it's important to plant and water spiritual seeds as one of God's agents. And brethren, we must never underestimate the power of a planted seed. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. In this sentence, Paul describes our part as one of our Father's agents in his plan of salvation. We are to plant and water spiritual seeds, and God's Holy Spirit will make the seed grow as per our Father's will. God alone produces results. However, our responsibility as one of God's agents is to plant and water spiritual seeds. Now, I have a question, brethren. Why is it important that we plant and water spiritual seeds? Brethren, it's very important because our reward is based on our labor. Paul says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one." And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Brethren, let's not let Satan deceive us and rob us of our reward by convincing us we are not God's fellow workers, and we do not have a responsibility to plant and water spiritual seeds. As we plant and water the spiritual seeds, let's remember we have no control of the soil the seed is planted in. The only control we have is to be God's proactive fellow workers and plant and water seed when given the opportunity. Today, here in Garden Grove, we have many passive activities to plant and water spiritual seeds. We can distribute the UCG magazine in our community, which I know a lot of people here do, or we can volunteer to help distribute UCG booklets at the local malls in our community. And I know we have a lot of people who do that. Matter of fact, tomorrow we'll be at the Main Place Mall. But brethren, let's look at a future activity we are working on to plant and water spiritual seeds. This activity is designed for one person, and it's a portable book display. This portable book display is presently being used by the people who distribute the Watchtower material in Orange County. It's small and light, so one woman or one man can lift it in and out of a trunk of their car. It has wheels, so it can easily be rolled almost anywhere to display booklets in public places like streets, sidewalks, and parks where there is a lot of foot traffic. We have found a supplier in China, and we are now looking for a supplier located in the United States. We will not use this identical display because we do not want people to think we are associated with the Jehovah's Witnesses. But we will keep you updated on our progress. Brethren, Jesus, Paul, and Peter encourage us to be proactive in planting and watering spiritual seeds. Jesus gave the parable of the sower of seeds in Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. Jesus interpreted the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Paul says our reward is based on the labor of planting and watering in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. And Peter tells us to always be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It's the King James Version. In this last section of this message, I would like to share with you some spiritual seeds we as individuals can plant and water in our daily conversations with people in our community. But first, I'd like to discuss two elements of planting and watering good seeds. There are two elements of planting and watering good seeds. First, the seed has to be brief and to the point. And second, it has to be truthful without contradiction. Now let's look at why the spiritual seed that we plant or water must be brief and to the point. Brethren, when we plant and water spiritual seeds, they need to be brief and to the point because humans have a shorter attention span than goldfish. If you research articles on the internet about the attention span of people today, you will discover it has dropped from 12 seconds to 8 seconds. As people's attention span shortens, we cannot plant and water spiritual seeds today like we did in the past. We must know our audience and react appropriately. Paul made this point very clear when he said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." He said that in Acts chapter 17, verse 22. You see, Paul knew his audience, and he reacted appropriately when he planted his seeds, and we must do the same. Brethren, people's attention span is getting shorter, and it might be prudent and more effective if we shorten our individual message when we plant and water spiritual seeds. Now let's look at the second element. When we plant and water spiritual seeds, they need to be truthful and without contradiction. For example, most people believe dead people are awake and aware of their surroundings. Most people also believe their loved ones can hear their prayers. Now, many people use Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 as the seed to plant to prove from the Bible that dead people are not awake and not aware of their surroundings, because it says, "The dead know not anything." This seed is truthful, but this seed is not without contradiction. You see, brethren, most Christians use the parable of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 28, to justify their belief that dead people are awake and aware of their surroundings, and to neutralize what Ecclesiastes says about the dead not knowing anything. When we plant a seed, we want the seed to be truthful and without contradiction. A truthful seed without contradiction is a good seed, and it can survive the elements and begin to grow. Now let's look at one seed we might want to plant when we hear people refer to dead people being awake or aware of their surroundings. The seed we might want to plant when we hear someone refer to dead people being awake and aware of their surroundings is the seed about the resurrection. When we hear people refer to dead people being awake and aware of their surroundings, we might say something like this. If dead people are awake and aware of their surroundings, would you please help me understand why Paul said, people who are dead will come alive and meet the Lord in the clouds? That was said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Brethren, the seed that we are planting is this. If dead people are already awake and aware of their surroundings, why do they have to come alive again in the resurrection? Let me repeat. If dead people are already awake and aware of their surroundings, why do they have to come alive again in a resurrection? The purpose of planting this seed is to challenge their false Christian belief. You will notice, brethren, we are planting a seed by asking a question rather than by making a statement. You see, brethren, the best way to persuade someone is to ask them a question, because when they give an answer, they own the answer. Mr. Ray Roberts referred to this principle in his sermonette last week. Once we plant a good seed, one without contradiction, our Father's Holy Spirit will make it grow if it's our Father's will. Brethren, planting this seed does not take much time, and it can be planted very quickly. Now, after planting the resurrection seed, we can water it one of two ways. If we do not have UCG booklets with us, we can always say, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, First Resurrection. If God's Holy Spirit inspires the person to do this, it will bring that person to a Beyond Today video on the First Resurrection. Now, if you're volunteering at the mall with the UCG booklets, you can say, if you want more information on this topic, read this booklet, God's Holy Day Plan. Now, brethren, let's continue to break the chains of false beliefs by planting and watering spiritual seeds. In this last section, let's review several seeds we might want to plant and water when we hear people refer to other false Christian beliefs. Many people today believe Sunday has replaced Saturday as the weekly Sabbath. Therefore, let's look at a seed we might want to plant that is brief, truthful, with no contradictions. When we hear someone refer to Sunday replacing Saturday as a weekly Sabbath. When we hear people refer to Sunday replacing Saturday as a weekly Sabbath, we might say something like this. Can you help me understand why Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. You see, with this question, we are asking the person to give us an answer on how attending Sabbath services on Sunday is following Jesus, if Jesus attended on Saturday. Now, after planting this Sabbath seed, we can water it in one of two ways. If we do not have any UCG booklets, we can say, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, God's Sabbath. If God inspires the person to do this, it will bring the person to a Beyond Today video on the Sabbath. This is a fast, quick way of planting a seed. Now, if you're volunteering at the mall with UCG booklets, you can say, if you want more information on this topic, read this booklet, God's Sabbath Rest. Now, let's look at the seed we might want to plant when we hear someone refer to God's Holy Spirit being a person like our Father and our Lord Jesus. When we hear people imply that the Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity doctrine, we might want to plant this seed that discredits the Trinity doctrine. Please help me understand why John said, "A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeds only from the throne of God and of the Lamb." John does not mention the Holy Spirit in this verse, Revelation 22, verse 1. With this question, we are asking the person to give an answer on why the Holy Spirit is missing from this verse. We want that person to think about that question. You see, brethren, as Mr. Sagley said last week, if the Holy Spirit is truly a person in the Trinity, John surely disrespected it by not mentioning it in this verse. But this is not the only verse the Holy Spirit is missing from. Stephen, who was full of God's Holy Spirit, saw only Jesus standing next to our Father in his vision of heaven. That's in Acts chapter 8, verse 55 through 56. This verse could be used as a seed. And then Paul said, "The Father created all things only through Jesus Christ, and he never mentioned the Holy Spirit." And that verse is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul, again, he does not mention the Holy Spirit in this, only our Father and Jesus Christ. Brethren, if the Holy Spirit was a person in the Trinity, surely Luke and Paul also disrespected it by not mentioning it in these two verses. Now, after planting one of these, what I call discredit the Trinity seed, you can water it one of two ways. If you do not have UCG booklets, you can say, if you want more information on this topic, use your internet browser and type Beyond Today, is the Holy Spirit a person? I can say that to a person riding in an elevator, going up two flights or three flights of stairs. In that short period of time, I can plant and water this particular seed about the Holy Spirit not being a person. Now, if God inspires this person to type in beyond today, is the Holy Spirit a person, it will bring the person to a beyond today video describing why the Holy Spirit is not a person. If you're volunteering at the mall with the UCG booklets, you can say, if you want more information on this topic, read this booklet, Is God a Trinity? Brethren, let's conclude this message with this brief thought. We, you and me, each of us, are followers of Jesus Christ. We are agents in our Father's plan of salvation. We are God's fellow workers, and most important, our reward is based on our labor. Brethren, let's do the right thing. Let's continue to do the work Jesus started. Let's continue to spread the words of our Father, and let's continue to plant and water spiritual seeds. He who has ears, let him hear.